The title this morning, if you are a note taker, is The Enemy's Help, Part 13, January 13, 2013. God has a good sense of humor. I just realized that this morning. I looked at it and go, hey, part 13 on 13th on 13. 13. That's pretty good. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about the enemy's help. And you know, the enemy hates your potential. I see this all the time. There is such a great potential in every one of you. There's such a willing to do things God's way. And the devil does not like that. The devil sees potential in you that you don't even see. And that's why he wants to cause havoc and cause issues in your life. And you got to understand, there's greatness inside of you. And you should be saying that every morning when you wake up, there's greatness inside of me. There's some greatness inside. There's some things God wants to pull out of me. I got some great things inside. I'm a great person inside because I've got Jesus. I've got the Holy Spirit. And the devil does not like what you're becoming because you're becoming just like Jesus. And the enemy knows that once you uproot and defeat the enemy that's within you, you'll be free to help other people. We said the last couple weeks that you need to put lines of separation. You need to put lines of separation between your weakness and yourself. In other words, what I'm saying is keep away from the fire so you don't get burned. Amen. Today's decisions are tomorrow's reality. Today's decisions are tomorrow's reality. The decisions you make today will affect your tomorrow. Amen. Last week we spoke a little bit about everybody having a dominant gift and a dominant weakness. And we got to understand that weakness so that we can guard against it. We said the enemy is anyone or anything that tries to feed our dominant weakness. There's people that the devil puts in your way that used to encourage you to do things you shouldn't do. And they feed on your dominant weakness. You need to cut those people off. You need to cut those things off that you were doing. Now let me clarify something. A weakness doesn't necessarily mean it's a sin. But sometimes, you know, the devil will bring certain things in your life to cause you to stumble or to fall, to try to go back to your old ways. Remember the story about that, you know, guy always used the illustration, the dog goes back to the vomit. Why would you want to go back to that vomit? So don't go back. Look forward. Your past is your past, but your future's bright. We said that sometimes weakness is not sinful. Let me give you an example of that. Sometimes you can have one of my things is I'm an A-type personality. I'm a driving person. I try to get 90 tasks done in a day. Okay, not that it's a good thing, but I'll readjust my schedule to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning if I have to try to get all these things done. Now, that's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing because sometimes, you know, my wife doesn't want to do those 98 things. Amen. She says, whoa, you can go do all those things. I've got just a couple things. You know, it'll get done. And so sometimes that weakness can also, you know, it's in that strength can also be a weakness. So I have to balance. You have to learn how to balance those things. But this morning I want to continue on with something that I want to speak about this week and probably next week, is that there's 10 weapons that the enemy tries to use against you to stop your growth and to kill your dreams that God's placed within you. I'll probably share with you 5 of them today, and we'll hit the other 5 next week. But there are these weapons that the devil tries to use to hold you back. And really, we have to take those things that the devil has and turn them around for our good and use what the devil meant for harm to help us. Amen? So we're going to continue on with this enemy's help this morning. We're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians 4:17. We've been using this as our base scripture for the last 12 weeks. This will be week 13. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 says this, for our light affliction. In other words, you're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. In other words, you're going to go through some stuff, but it's working loose some things that need to be loosened. some things in us that need to be let go, some things that need to be broken up. Sometimes we go through some stuff so we learn something so we just don't go do it again. I don't go put my hands on an open fire anymore. I did that when I was a kid. Mom said, don't put your hand on that fire. Don't put your, well, why? I'm going to get burned. And then you put your hand on your fire and you get burned. I'm trying to tell you, I didn't go put my hand on that fire a second time. But sometimes we go through a light affliction. It says, and while we do not look at things that are seen, but things that are not seen, for the things which are seen, the things that we see are just temporary. But the things that are not seen are eternal. So this morning, I want to talk about these weapons. And the first weapon the devil uses is isolation. The devil uses isolation as a weapon. And that's why people don't come to this church sometimes, and they're isolated because they don't want to hear the word, because there's going to be something that might stir up in them that might be a truth that make them have to do something. Amen? See, isolation is potentially lethal because it leaves you to deal with your internal struggles by yourself. And God's never intended you to go through any struggle or any test or any trial by yourself. You have someone that's supposed to be with you. His name is Jesus. He's supposed to be there to help you get through so you're not alone. So you don't have to join the Lonely Hearts Club. See, the point is, don't let the enemy get you alone. Idle time, the devil will use to try to mess you up. He'll try to bring situations and circumstances. He tries to isolate you so you think that you're the only one that has an issue. So we've got to keep our relationship current with God. We've got to spend every day in fellowship and communion with God. We have to communicate with God on a daily basis. We need to renew our strength every day in the Word. Every day we need to spend some time with God. Why? Because if you get disconnected, the devil will isolate you and he will beat you to death. Amen? Here's the other thing about isolation God showed me. Isolation is a dangerous pattern to begin because over time you choke out voices that are assigned to speak into your life. Let me say that again. Isolation is a dangerous pattern to begin because over time you choke out those voices that are assigned to speak in your life. There are people that are assigned by God to speak into your life, but if you are isolated, they can't get to you to give you the words you need to encourage you to get you beyond where you're at. Amen? Pastor Jose came by last week to pray for our church, unannounced to me, but he spoke a word to encourage. He prayed for our church. I just thought about how he brought others to the church to pray for us, to help us to move beyond where we're at today. Because we don't want to be isolated, we want to be connected. Amen? I'd gotten a call this week from a pastor friend that we used to do ministry together with. I haven't heard from him for 5 years. He got to go down to L.A. He got to meet with Dr. Price, and God had put in his spirit me in his face, and he got a hold of me, and we talked, we got caught up, and he's doing well, and it's just funny that God is starting to bring people of like belief together. We were talking about churches, and he says a lot of his people had to leave because he quit teaching religion and he started teaching relationship. And he felt so isolated and so alone sometimes because, oh man, I don't have a church of 500 yet. And I said, don't worry about it. Gideon's army was small too, and it got a lot accomplished. Jesus only had 12, and one of them was a snake in the grass. He really only had 11. And he got a lot done. Second weapon the devil uses is immaturity. Immaturity causes us to fall short of God's plan. Immaturity causes us to fall short of God's plan. Now let me say, when I was born premature. Amen? When I started dating my wife, I was immature. And she's believing someday I'm going to become mature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody get a hand clap for the pastor for that. Amen. I'm getting mature. I got gray hair. I mean, I'm maturing good. Hallelujah. But I don't go do the same old things I used to do when I was a kid. I had to grow up. If you have never dealt with an unmet emotional need, they have a potential to produce a system in you, a root system that bears fruit that undermines relationships and destroys the plan of God for you. So we have to address those things. We gotta grow. No longer can we just be feeding on the milk of the Word, but we have to eat the meat of the Word. And lots of pastors don't want to bring forth the meat of the Word because it chokes people sometimes. But it chokes them in the right direction to go and do something. I like a good feel-good message. I love those messages. And I believe every Sunday I feel good when I get done preaching because I did what God told me to do. Amen? And we have to feel a little uncomfortable when we come to, so that we can grow. I come expecting. I don't know, God's going to do something. What's it going to be? I'm just coming ready to receive whatever He wants us to have. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:13, this is the New Living Translation, Ephesians 4:13 says this: "This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we may be what? That we may be what? Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ." In other words, we are a work in progress, but we cannot be going backwards. We got to be going forward. We need to mature in the Word. We need to not be doing the things we used to do and start doing the things that God's called us to do. The more Word that you get in you, the more that you start measuring up to His standards, and the more things that God can trust you with, and the more things that He can flow through you. I don't give my kids keys to a car when they're 10 years old. Why? They're not mature enough to drive. So someone said at the age of 16, they're mature enough to drive. I don't know. I don't know if 16 is the right age. But as they get older, they become more mature, they become more logical, their thinking becomes better. And God's trying to get this to us as Christians, is that we need to spend time in His Word so that we measure up to His full, complete standard in Christ. There's some standards in Christ that we need to achieve. Amen? See, the kid inside of you will want to rise up and cause you, who you are, the king, to make decisions like a little boy when you should be making decisions as a man or a woman. You need to learn that to make adult decisions. And if you don't, guess what happens? You fail in life. Some people I know still make decisions and think like a child, and they wonder why they're in such a mess and they're 45 years old or 50 years old. Because they've made these decisions as a foolish child, and God says, you got to mature sooner or later. I mean, you're only hurting yourself. See, the enemy loves to take these early wounds in our lives and throw lies in them and coax us to act foolishly out of hurt and unresolved anger. And then guess what happens? We start doing things that we shouldn't be doing. We find ourselves in a mess. Then we isolate ourselves like the devil wants us to get us in to say that nobody loves us. But we're called to grow up according to His Word. We're called to start here but continue to grow. Continue to grow. My job is I'm the miracle grow guy. I'm just giving you the Word so that you can continue to grow. No Word, no growth. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Growth comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you have no faith, then you can't grow. Amen? Third thing. Third weapon that the devil uses. And I've seen this many a times. He affects your feelings and your emotions. So you need to get your feelings and emotions in control. Well, Pastor, I'm just a very emotional person. Well, get them under check. Never let your emotions have dominion over your decisions. Have your decision-making process have dominion over your emotions. Feelings. Remember that song? Feelings. Nothing but feelings. Can't go around life just doing feelings. I'm a touchy-feely person. Well, that's good, but you got to get out of control of your emotions. Because if you don't, remember that story we said a few weeks ago about Esau? And remember he had this birthright? And Esau had a birthright is like you have this inheritance. Okay? And so, say you have this inheritance and you're gonna receive this inheritance that was worth, and just say that you're related to Bill Gates. We'll just use that. and you're related to Bill Gates, and you get his inheritance, as when he passes on, he gives you all his estate, which is billions of dollars. But you choose to cash that in because you're feeling hungry or you're feeling some way, and you cash it in for a bowl of beans or a quick, you know, a sandwich at Subway. Amen. I'm willing to trade it all in. I'm willing to give my inheritance to you if you just give me that sub sandwich right now. And we see what happens is when you don't control your feelings or you don't have control of your emotions, everything in your life goes haywire. Take a look at Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. This is the New King James Version, and it says it this way in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. The opposite is in effect there. If you choose not to love him, choose not to walk in it, choose not to follow his command, to get emotional about every little thing, then God's not going to bless you. But it says, if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods, such as money, and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you crossed over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Now, I like that because when I continue to look at that scripture a little bit, it showed me something that I have to get my life in check with God. That means I have some responsibility to spend some time with God. It's my responsibility to go out and do some things on behalf of Jesus. And when I do that, I choose life. See, God always gives you a choice in the matter. He says, I choose life or death, or blessings or cursing, but before you, please choose life, he says, that both you and your descent, both you and your kids, both you and your kids' kids will be blessed. See, life is based upon decisions, and God has a plan for us, but we have choices along the way, and we must manage our emotions and our feelings, or they will be like giants that will try to manage us. We got to get our emotions, and we got to get our feelings in check. I mean, I know I get the itch to go buy a new truck every week. Amen. But after I pray about it for a few minutes and think about the mistakes I've made in the past about buying stuff when I'm emotionally not stable, because it looks good, I should have one of those, you know, 2013 Dodge Rams because it's the number one truck that's made, and my truck's getting older, and when the rotten God tells me to go get the new truck, I'll go get the new truck, but I'm not going to go based on feelings or emotions. Sure, I'd like something new, and so would you. I would like a new house. Amen. Paid for. I'm staying where I'm at right now until God says to move. Amen. Truck I have now is nice. It's a nice truck. I'm going to take care of it and polish it up. And so someone's going to admire it so much they're going to want it, and then God will give me something better. But if I don't take care of what I've got, how is God going to bless me with something else? So you got to have your emotions in check. You got to have your feelings in check. Can't worry when people start talking bad about you. Or my wife didn't kiss me last night when I went to bed. I didn't get all emotional. She didn't care about me anymore. She didn't kiss me last night. Well, I went to bed early. I was tired. She had to go play cards. Amen? Phase 10, phase 10. And I didn't say she was at the gambling hall. Y'all looking at her. She playing cards. Did she win at a blackjack? She didn't come home with $10,000. No. We had friends over and they played cards. They played phase 10. And I'm not a card player. I was tired. So I went to sleep. I didn't get all worried that she didn't kiss me. And then all my feelings are hurt. But people get all jacked up by that.
Feelings.
Your emotions get out of whack. The fourth thing. See, I'm getting some of you. You're starting to laugh about it now. You're thinking about it, though. The fourth weapon the devil uses is wrong perception of yourself. The wrong perception of yourself. What the enemy does, he tries to put some false ideas about you on who you really are in Christ Jesus. And most of the time that we struggle is the struggle of our identity in your mindset. You need to understand that you're the head and not the tail. That you're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in and you're just as more blessed going out. You're a king's kid. You're part of the kingdom of God. You're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Your elder brother Jesus paved the way for you. You got a connection point to heaven. But you got to identify that in your mindset. Maybe someone told you, you know, in the outside you look successful, but you feel like a failure or you feel lame. Don't allow areas in your life where you're weak or lame to go unconfronted. Confront the areas of your life where you're not strong. Make that weakness a strength. Don't allow the devil to give a wrong perception about yourself. God invites you every day to eat at his table. Know who you are in Christ. Fill your resume with the things of God. Understand who you are. That you are blessed. You are highly favored. You are going through some tests so you can have a testimony. You have great potential. You are blessed. And the devil will try to say, well, you know, you'll never amount to this. Or look at you, or look at the way you are, or you know, you don't have a good grasp on the English language. Or you stuttered a lot. So did Moses. And look what he did. I remember the devil put in my head, you'll never be the pastor. I said, I don't want to be. You're right, I didn't want to be. But the whole time the Lord was encouraging me, yes, you are. Come on, you can do it. Come on, I love you. You're a king's kid. Just step in front. Step in front. Go ahead. Wife and I were like, no, we don't want that. No, we're good. We'll just stay back here. We're okay. He said, no, step out. I want to fill your destiny. Don't allow the devil to dump junk in your trunk. Remember that you're a king's kid. You're a king's kid. You're of the Most High God. You're not a loser, you're a winner. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. Know who you are in Christ. If you don't know, buy my book. Amen? I'll tell you who you are in Christ Jesus. The devil uses that as a weapon to get our perception muffled because he knows your potential is so great. And if he could get you off course just a little bit or think that maybe you're not all that, what God says you are, That you'll just fall away from what God wants you to do. The fifth weapon the devil uses is hidden fears. The devil tries to use hidden fears to try to slow you down from all the blessings of God and to fulfill your dreams. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, the New King James Version. Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing. That means you're going to have your emotions in check and your feelings in check, so you won't move on something anxious about something. But he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Don't let your requests be known to every friend, but let it be known to God. Prayer and supplication. I'm going before God because I want to make sure I'm hearing from Him. God's not in a hurry at all. We're in a hurry. We get anxious when we pull into the drive-thru and we have to wait that 90 seconds and our food still isn't there at the counter. And we get upset. It says, be anxious for nothing. Because if the food ain't cooked and you eat it, you get sick. I'd rather have them take that extra minute and put it back in the microwave. Amen? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, not in just one thing or the big things. You know, he says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Everything. So what did he leave out? So in everything, we should be praying about the little stuff and the big stuff. We should be praying about what the church is going to do and who they're going to have. We're going to pray about that. We're also going to pray about what college my daughter or son's going to go to or what plan. But we're going to pray about that. We're not going to be anxious to move on just because it sounds good. Or you go to the car dealer and you can get your payment down to $250. You got to have it. I'm anxious. I got to have it. Serious. I'm going to pray about that decision. Before we bought our house when we moved to Las Vegas, we prayed over that house. Said, Lord, is this your house that you want us to? Lord, can we use this for fellowships? Lord, we'll do whatever you want us to do. If this is your will, let us know. We like the house. We think it's cool. But if it ain't you in the mix of it, it will be a mess. So we weren't anxious. We waited. We prayed. God released it, and then we got the house. We got a better deal than we thought. Amen. We're not anxious. See, most of us worry about something that will never happen. Let me say that again. Most of us worry about things that will never happen. And when you're in fear, you're not in faith. Being in fear gives the enemy your life advantage. What I mean by that is that while you're becoming emotionally and physically drained and weakened by the enemy, he's conserving his energy for the battle. And when we fear, when we're in fear, we cannot draw the strength that we need or the resources that we need that are required to fight the battle. Shed some light on your hidden fears and they will disappear. In other words, use the light of Jesus. Use the light of His Word. Let it be the lamp so that you can see where you're walking. Light dispels darkness. Fear is a darkness. Just flip the switch. I remember when I was growing up, I was afraid to go down in the basement because my brother used to scare me about the boogeyman down there. And then all I had to do, and he'd keep the lights off, you know, and scare me. But then I learned when I turned on the light, it dispelled the darkness. No fear. Ain't no boogeyman here. I got the lights on, man. So we just have to have the light of God's Word to shine upon us. And it takes whatever fears that we have, all those hidden fears, and it gets dispersed and leaves us. Amen? It dispels. Let me close with this. Don't allow the enemy within you to hinder you from what God's got planned for you. Fight the flesh every day. Place your flesh on notice. The Bible says when you're weak, God's strong. Allow the Holy Spirit to comfort you, to guide you, to direct you, to be the one that's in charge. Protect yourself against your dominant weakness. Don't be isolated, but spend some time with Jesus every day. Isolation, oh man, will paralyze you. So don't get isolated. Spend some time with God every single day. Get into that secret place of the Most High. It's time as Christians that we grow up and get mature. That's what the Word says. And do things God's way, not our ways. I mean, there's a lot of things I like to do my way, but I have to do it God's way. My way I thought would be more expedient, but God's way is better. God's not into shortcuts and fast tracking. God wants you to go along the road and smell the roses along the way. Why? Because He wants you to learn something along the way. He wants you to enjoy and take in what's the beauty that He's put before you. I ask God, Lord, why don't I have 1,000 people at my church yet like everybody else? He goes, because I'm allowing you to smell the roses along the way. I want to show you some things along the way that are going to help you so that when the storms come, when the troubles come, when people talk about it, you've already gone through all that. You'll have the right answer. Things that take down ministries. You see ministries that have 10,000 people and the next week they have 5,000. They're cut in half because the pastor had gotten off the course. He didn't smell the roses along the way and didn't know how to handle certain things. Or found himself or herself in trouble doing things they shouldn't because they've been, you know, playing in the world instead of playing in the Word. Trying to help you. Get your emotions and feelings in check. Line them up with the Word of God. Don't go based upon your emotions and feelings. Go by what the Holy Spirit tells you in your gut check. Amen? Know that God has good things for you. Worry what God says. Don't worry what the devil says about you. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're a king's kid. You just got to confront your hidden fears and walk by faith. Confront those things that concern you. Deal with those situations that used to be your weakness and make them a strength. But it will take some work. It'll take some time. You're going to have to do something different than you normally do to get a different outcome. You can't do the same thing day in and day out and expect something different. It's even in working out. You can only do the routine so often and then your body maxes out. You have to change some things up so your body gets a different feel of a different muscle group. And then the weight loss starts to happen or the toning of your muscles become different. Well, why wouldn't it be different? Why would it be any different with God? Face your fears. You're not alone. You got Jesus on your side. You got the Holy Spirit inside of you that comforts you. Shout with me this morning. Devil, I'm armed and dangerous. I know the weapons you use, but I have the answer. And his name is Jesus. I will spend more time in the secret place of the Most High God. I'm growing up in the Word of God every single day. My feelings and my emotions are under God's control. I know who God says I am. I will not fear because I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm walking in the blessing of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm a king's kid. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord some praise this morning. Did you get anything? These little weapons the devil tries to use, all we got to do is turn them around for our good. Let's use the enemy as a pawn. Let's use him and allow him to try to do the things, but know that we're greater than he is. Because we're connected to the Great One. We're connected to the undefeated heavyweight champion of the world. Amen. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He's undefeated. And we're connected to that. We got the same DNA, the same blood lineage. We just like God. I didn't say we are God. We just like him. Jesus said, when you see me, you see my Father. Well, I want people to say, when you see me, you see my Jesus and my Father. I want to be able to walk in a room and change the whole atmosphere because we all just serving Jesus. Do you know that you can do that? I've been wondering and I've been asking God, why are these people all calling me to want to go do something at their church or go pray? It ain't me. It's that they've seen I'm sold out for Jesus. I ain't playing church. I'm not playing religion. I'm playing around in God's playground. I'm going to do things his way. Opportunities are knocking on our door. Opportunities are knocking on your door. All you got to do is be ready and prepared to open up that door. I don't boast about me. I boast about the Jesus. I'm glad someone else is seeing something on me that's good. Glad that they see my wife in a way and they say, "Wow, there's something different about your wife. She's calm and she's a prayer warrior." Or they see things on her and they call her. People from other churches call us because they haven't found what they've been looking for. Men, next Saturday, we all get together and be with Ron. Ron's got some experience that I don't have. He's got some experience you don't have. The Bible talks, go to some of those that got a little bit more experience than you and get underneath them and support and understand a little bit. What are you saying? Oh, okay. Because he's trying to help you avoid a pitfall, a trip, a stumble. That's what I tried. But there's some other wisdom he has that I don't have. That you have, that I don't have. And you need to share that so that we all can grow together. Women the same way. We're going to get a lot done in 2013. We are a church on the move. We're going to be known in this city for something. That we're changing lives. There's something when you walk into a room that's going to change the whole atmosphere. There's a song about changing the atmosphere, shifting the atmosphere. That's what you do when you walk into a situation. When you walk into a hospital bed and you go pray for it, you're shifting the atmosphere. When you walk into your job, you're shifting the atmosphere. When you walk into the church, you shift the atmosphere. When your household seems to be going crazy stuff, and you walk in, you're shifting that atmosphere. Because there's something different about you. And the world's taking notice. They're going to because they're seeing everything else is failing and you're not. When everything else is going down, you're going up. You're going through hell, but you're not getting burned by the flame and the rest of them have been getting torched. Your investments are going up and everybody else is going down. You get favor and blessings and everybody else just eating crow. Why? Because you know who you are in Christ. God set you up. You got great potential. That's why I start from the beginning. The devil knows your potential. You don't know your. I don't even know all my potential. The devil already knows my potential is so big. I'm going to stomp on him so much. I have to go buy another pair of new shoes. I'm stomping on hell so much my bottom of my heels are on fire. Amen. Give me a good reason to go buy some new shoes, praise God. But seriously, we got to make an impact. These are end times. Look at the newspaper. Look at the fiscal cliffs and look at all the craziness and all that. Read. It's in the Bible. These things are going to happen, but we're not going to be affected. I'm not going to get in fear when they say, "Oh, I don't worry about that. I got no fear because Jesus is here. I got my Heavenly Father. I got my Jesus. I got the Holy Spirit inside of me. I don't worry about it. I walk with a little kick in my side. Why? I ain't outnumbered. I'm not isolated. I'm not alone. I got someone who's with me." Lord, bless your people. This week is going to be their best week ever. Lord God, I'm calling for increase. I'm calling for favor. I'm calling for wisdom. I'm calling for direction. I'm calling, Lord, that everything they put their hands to is going to be like the Midas touch, Lord. That, Lord God, they're going to draw people to them, Lord God, because of what they're speaking, which is your word. They're going to see the actions of what they do, Lord. And people are going to say, "Why are they doing it that way?" And they're going to say, "I've been led by Jesus to do it." I believe, Lord God, your people this week alone will have some encounters, some God encounters that will radically just transform their lives, but others that will be connected to them. And I'm believing, Lord God, for healings and wholeness and miracles and signs and wonders to break loose everywhere they go. For when they come into a place, they shift the atmosphere. Because there's such an anointing on it, a yoke that's been broken off them, that fatness of the Holy Spirit that's inside of them. is being released everywhere they go. It's like, Lord God, something that's gone before them. You've gone before them, and you've paved the way. This week will be best week ever. Be better than the week before, and it's only going to get better. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I love them, Lord, like you love them. Allow them to see the potential that you see in them. And allow them to accomplish, Lord God, the supernatural this week. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen.